They understand the constraints of time many Americans live under. So Pastor Don Wilder will be on the street administering what are called Ashes to Go to the public. I'm John Clemens.
Follow us on Facebook at USA Radio. This is USA Radio News.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Tributes for actor Luke Perry continue to come in after he died days after suffering a massive stroke. Dr. Carol Brockington, director of the Mount Sinai New York Stroke Center, says strokes can happen at any age.
People think that if they're young, they're protected, right? And the thing about stroke is that most people think it only happens when you get older. But really, the reality is stroke can occur at any age. There are many different reasons, and certainly the incidence of stroke increases as you get older because the medical conditions associated with that increase. But it doesn't mean that if you're young, you can't have a stroke.
And when a young person gets a stroke, she says,
well, you know, the brain we start off with is not the brain we end up with, right? So if you're younger, you have a really robust brain. And if it should get injured, there's a lot of swelling sometimes that is associated with that and could cause further injury as time goes on. Mm. So sometimes, you know, being younger and having a stroke can cause more problems than being older.
The Supreme Court is refusing to hear a case regarding churches and taxpayer funds. More from USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
The Supreme Court is not going to enter the debate over whether churches should be allowed to receive public funds for historic preservation. Yesterday, the court refused to hear a case out of New Jersey where the state Supreme Court ruled last year religious institutions are not eligible for government funds. But the high court justices ruled just 2 years ago that churches can be eligible for purely secular grant programs for things like playground renovations.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you for joining us. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's going on, Josh?
Well, I'm getting a little cabin fever, Colonel. Thankfully, it's March now, but I sure could use a TDY to hickam. Heck, I'd settle for Vietnam where the president was this week. No denuclearization agreement was reached as a result of the latest U.S.-North Korea summit, but we did see the art of the deal on full display. More on that in just a moment.
Thanks, Josh. Keep us posted. We'll hear from Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby as he shares some warrant wisdom, and Marine Vet Skip Coriel is here, and he looks, well, normal. What's up, Skip?
Well, yeah, Colonel, and when the sunlight hits me just right, I look almost lifelike.
Truly.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Okay, well, I'll believe you. Here's what we have for you today. On News and Comment by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the move to make our close combat infantry forces much more lethal. It even makes sense. Then Brooke Goldstein from the Lawfare Project will discuss the anti-Semitism and bias against Israel that's rampant in our nation today, a major form of bias that's hurting us. Next, Steve Wilson will discuss how help vets helps vets. Then Karen Cataline will contrast socialism with free will. They are contradictory. Then finally, Autumn Hartpence will share the great role of vet sports.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
Troops, as you know, on each show we honor a deceased military person. Not the superstars, but the average soldier, sailor, marine, airman, or coastie. They don't have to have served in combat, do have to have served honorably, on active duty, guard, or reserves. I have some, but I need more vets to honor. To nominate someone, send me about 250 words summarizing his or her service. I'll read it on the show. Send the information to me, Denny, at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or do it on Facebook. Now it's time for news and comment by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. Lead out, Josh.
At the second major U.S.-North Korea denuclearization summit, when Kim Jong-un was asked by a reporter if he is willing to abandon his nuclear arsenal, the Supreme Leader replied, "If I'm not willing to do that, I wouldn't be here right now," which prompted a grin from Trump, and Trump saying, "That might be the best answer you've ever heard." The good news or sign from the past meeting was really a matter of not will North Korea give up its nukes and nuclear ambitions, but how quickly and when. Kim offered to permanently dismantle his nuclear facilities in the Yongbyon region in return for partial sanctions relief, which was rejected. The president walked away when his terms of full denuclearization weren't met. Trump's account, he said talks collapsed after the North Koreans asked for total sanctions relief. Despite the disparity, it's obvious Trump is playing hardball. After the talks adjourned early, he insisted his relationship with Kim remained friendly and that talks would continue. Last week, the U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments on whether to reverse the Fourth Circuit Court decision ordering the removal or disfigurement of a 40-foot-tall cross erected in 1925 to memorialize the World War I service and death of 49 soldiers from Prince George's County in Maryland. The Peace Cross of Bladensburg sits on a rectangular base which includes the words valor, endurance, courage, and devotion. A bronze plaque lists the names of the 49 fallen sons of Bladensburg. Above the names is the inscription, quote, "This memorial cross, dedicated to the heroes of Prince George's County, Maryland, who lost their lives in the Great War for the liberty of the world," end quote. The Fourth Circuit ruled that the cross is the preeminent symbol of Christianity, and that while the cross may generally serve as a symbol of death and memorialization, it only holds that value because of its affiliation with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and thus violates the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment.
The Thomas More Law Center, a national public interest law firm based in Michigan, is engaged in this heated culture war battle over the meaning of the Establishment Clause. They're doing this by filing a friend of the court brief to save the cross. The stakes are high. Crosses throughout the nation, including those in Arlington National Cemetery, will be in jeopardy should the Supreme Court affirm the lower court decision. The real question is, are we going to dishonor these heroes and their families to keep from offending some atheists? I sure hope we don't.
The Taliban have been carrying out more than 27 attacks daily in Afghanistan while engaging the U.S. in peace talks, according to the Pentagon's Inspector General's office. The IG's report said that in the three-month period from October 1st through December 30th, the Taliban initiated a total of 2,517 attacks, or slightly more than 27 per day. All of the attacks were defined by NATO's Resolute Support Mission as effective enemy-initiated attacks, meaning that each resulted in at least one casualty. The number of attacks also represented a 10% increase over the same period in 2017. During the last quarter of 2018, U.S. Special Representative Zalmay Khalilzad held three rounds of talks with the Taliban. In January, he announced that insurgent leaders had agreed in principle on the framework of a peace deal that would allow for the withdrawal of U.S. troops and included pledges from the Taliban that Afghanistan would not become a safe haven for terrorists. However, the Taliban have yet to meet with the Afghan government on the framework or outline future relations with the U.S.
Clearly, the Taliban are continuing the business of terrorism as usual. But I wonder, did the agreement include a cessation of attacks, or were we just hoping for that?
ISIS fighters facing defeat in Syria are slipping across the border into Iraq, where they are destabilizing the country's fragile security, according to Iraqi and U.S. officials. Hundreds, and likely more than 1,000 ISIS fighters have crossed the open desert border in the past 6 months, defying a massive operation by U.S., Kurdish, and allied forces to stamp out the remnants of the jihadi group in eastern Syria, according to three Iraqi intel officials and a U.S. military official. Indications of the extremist group's widening reach in Iraq are clear. Cells operating in four northern provinces are carrying out kidnappings, assassinations, and roadside ambushes aimed at intimidating locals and restoring the extortion rackets that financed the group's rise to power 6 years ago. The militants can count between 5,000 and 7,000 among their ranks in Iraq, where they are hiding out in the rugged terrain of remote areas, according to one intelligence official. In Syria, Kurdish-led forces backed by the U.S.-led coalition have cornered the militants in a tiny pocket in Baghouz, a Euphrates River village near the border. The Iraqi army has deployed over 20,000 troops to guard the frontier, but militants are slipping across in tunnels or under the cover of night, mostly to the north of the conflict zone. They are bringing with them currency and light weapons and digging up money and arms from caches they stashed away when they controlled a vast swath of northern Iraq. One of the intelligence officials said, quote, "If we deployed the greatest militaries in the world, they would not be able to control this territory. Our operations require intelligence gathering and airstrikes," end quote. At its height in 2014 and 2015, ISIS ruled over a self-proclaimed caliphate that spanned one-third of Iraqi and Syrian territory. They threatened to exterminate religious minorities. Iraqi forces, with U.S. and other help, were able to turn the war around, and Baghdad declared victory over the group in December 2017, after the last urban battle had been won. The group is already waging a low-level insurgency in rural areas. ISIS cells have killed village leaders and municipal officials. They have attacked rural checkpoints with car bombs and mortar fire and burned down militia members' homes. In central Iraq, militants stopped a police vehicle last month and killed all four officers inside.
It's clear that ISIS isn't going away. The challenge is to make their life tough and kill them when we can. I agree that the way to do this is by gathering intelligence and then using airstrikes. And that's the news. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel, and then we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk bias against Jews in our nation and around the world with Brooke Goldstein. At East Troops, take a break.
HelpVet.net is here to help all veterans, active military, and families. HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with their everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, discounted services, or information on retirement benefits, financial resources, and much more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all your needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net. Never forget, never forgotten.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. According to the National Sexual Violence Resource Center, 80% of rape victims knew their attacker. Be careful who you let into your life. If they don't feel right to you, then don't associate with them. My experience has taught me this. When you let crazy people into your life gets crazy. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
We're Sound Income Strategies, and baby boomers who work with us know the secret to a great retirement is our middle name, income. At Sound Income Strategies, we transform high-fee, high-taxed retirement spend-down schemes into sustained retirement income. And we can do the same for you, for your free, no-obligation income kit.
Call 866-913-1234. That's 866-913-1234.
It's time to get off the Wall Street roller coaster, stop the retirement spend down schemes, and join the income generation. For your free, no obligation income kit,
call 866-913-1234. That's 866-913-1234.
Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies LLC, an SEC registered investment advisory firm.
Sound Income Strategies, the secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
Call 866-913-1234.
I'm Andy Ross.
I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Honorary Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. A Front Lines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, honor, and remember, our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia, with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Former Defense Secretary Mattis is gone, but one of his major focuses was to boost lethality, and it's alive and is driving a revolution in how the military conducts its most elemental form of combat on the small unit level. New gear and technology for squads and platoons is on its way. The money and commitment are there, but the doctrine for employing that remains a work in progress. The mission is the same it's always been for the infantry. Close with and destroy the enemy in what commanders sometimes call the short sword fight. I call it close combat. Under Mattis's directive, the military continues developing new technologies and weapons for accomplishing the close combat mission, but squad and platoon tactics haven't changed in a century. The problem lies in meshing capabilities being developed for troops on the front lines with a new concept of how best to use them. Quote, today we stand a chance of having capabilities in want of a concept. We are producing, acquiring, eye-watering capabilities for the close combat formations. These range from squad-level unmanned aerial systems to next-generation squad weapons and rifles to the integrated visual augmentation system for day or night rapid target acquisition. So, you have these capabilities, new squad weapons, the list goes on, if we provide these advanced capabilities, but we're still using legacy tactics, we're not going to fully gain from these capabilities what they're capable of delivering. The task force doesn't have a specific budget, but instead leverages multiple pots of money in other programs, and as of today, every dollar of the money that was specifically identified to address the close combat formations is on track. What has been called the last renaissance for squad tactics came with the stormtroopers of the Imperial German Army during World War I. To break out of the trench warfare stalemate, the stormtroopers thought to achieve tactical surprise by using fire and maneuver to overwhelm points in the enemy line, bypassing the strong points along the way. Junior leaders were encouraged to use their initiative as the attack developed, and the strong points were to be left to the following troops to take care of. These tactics took the German army to the gates of Paris before faltering in 1918. Fundamentally, tactics have not changed in the squad level since then. On the offense, the squad and platoon mission is to decisively defeat, destroy, or neutralize the enemy force, or to seize key terrain. On the defense, it's to repel, to defeat, to destroy the enemy attack, and to gain the initiative for the offense. In those missions, the infantry platoon and squad must be ready to adapt to various levels of conflict and peace in various environments, according to a 2016 U.S. Army directive. Quote, this requires bold, aggressive, resourceful, and adaptive leaders, leaders of character, competence, and commitment, who are willing to accept known risks to accomplish the mission. Infantry leaders must use their initiative, the publication states. Well, what that translates to on the battlefield is for squad and platoon is the concept of two up, one back in the attack, meaning two units moving forward with one in reserve to exploit advantages. Hey, That's how I fought in Vietnam. And that could be a problem. The new technologies and equipment won't be used to their fullest extent if we're stuck using two up, one back. The National Defense Strategy states that, quote, our aim is a joint force that possesses decisive advantages for any likely conflict while remaining proficient across the entire spectrum of conflict. In a memo early last year, Mattis, a former infantry officer, focused on the future. He said that personnel policies, advances in training methods, and equipment have not kept pace with the changes in technology, human factors, science, and talent management best practices in terms of improving lethality of the squad and platoon. A spokesman for Acting Defense Secretary Patrick Shanahan said, improving lethality across the board will remain a top priority going forward. The only change will be to go faster on the implementation and the execution. Shanahan said his focus on lethality is with the person most downrange. It's all about how do we make them more lethal? How do we make their efforts easier? How do we make them smarter, faster, stronger, better? The U.S. military has already been learning lessons in the peer competitor challenge in Syria, where Russian troops are backing the Syrians. We've learned a lot from watching the Russians. For example, our infantry troops must be more attentive to camouflage and hiding their electronic footprints when any adversary can look at you with their own small unmanned aerial systems or their aircraft. Bottom line, we have to continue to train to minimize our signatures, both from an electromagnetic perspective and from a physical, visual, and audible observation perspective, and to use new technology and tactics to be more lethal. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're still listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. I love your topic today, Roland. Talk to us about it.
If you're like me, you geek out on new technology, which is certainly changing our lives at a dizzying pace. Many mind-blowing ideas are being created by U.S. startup companies, but the Pentagon largely misses out on them. This is mainly because it's considered very fast to award a contract in months, which is an eternity for startups who are living hand-to-mouth. As a result, the Department of Defense is unable to compete for ideas in the accelerating tech ecosystem and is missing out on the creative ideas to meet our national security challenges. The smaller the company, the faster we need to move. So, welcome to Pitch Day. The Air Force is finally tearing down those obstacles on March 6th and 7th in New York. They're putting $40 million on the table as step one in a new initiative that will transform how the Air Force works with startups, universities, and research centers. They're even introducing a new bureaucracy-busting contract, a convenient one-page, one-day, credit card-based transaction. If a company has a PayPal account, they can even do business with the Air Force in $150,000 increments. In fact, last month, the Air Force awarded 100 contracts in 40 hours as part of a trial run of Pitch Day. So here's how Pitch Day works. The Air Force will post their challenges online across platforms like LinkedIn. Companies will have 30 days to submit a short proposal, and promising candidates will be invited to pitch their ideas in New York. If the Air Force is impressed by the concept and the company, they will sign, swipe, and say, "Congratulations, you've partnered with the United States Air Force." The success of this effort ultimately translates into a permanent shift in how the Air Force works with startups. We need to energize startups to see that tackling our military challenges can be a means to accelerate their own growth and vitality, even if their business plans are ultimately commercial. If working on Air Force challenges isn't easy, commercially rewarding, and hopefully pretty cool, we as a nation risk missing out on one of our nation's greatest and growing strengths, its vibrant high-tech commercial ecosystem. A better and more secure future for our country isn't just going to happen within the five walls of the Pentagon. But with over $650 million in the Air Force's Small Business Innovation Budget, we can accomplish huge things outside those walls if the Air Force can get Pitch Day right. So, to all high-growth potential companies, the Air Force is ready to be the preferred innovation partner for companies of all sizes. You just need to apply. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thank you, Roland. You're one amazing guy. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss how the current increase in anti-Semitism is hurting our nation and the world. Then we'll meet Steve Wilson from HelpVet.net. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for planks. Let's do a minute each and do 10, then stand at ease. Spartan Nash is a leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries around the world. Our MDV division exists to serve our military heroes and their families, both at home and abroad.
At Spartan Nash, we see firsthand the sacrifices made to protect our freedoms, and it is our privilege to serve those who served at our more than 135 company-owned grocery stores and independent retail locations throughout the country.
Learn more at SpartanNash.com.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly a million people a year. But most of these deaths are preventable with regular activity, a healthier diet, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. You can stop it starting right now. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Alabama is under a state of emergency as rescue teams hunt for survivors of Sunday's deadly tornado. At least 23 people are dead and dozens are injured or unaccounted for. Lee County, Alabama coroner Bill Harris with an update on the victims.
As we speak, we are wrapping up the identification of those 23, with the exception of six that could not be physically identified by sight.
Two political action committees founded by Democratic Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's top aide funneled over $1 million in political donations into two of his own private companies. That's according to a complaint that was filed with the FEC on Monday. The cash transfers from the PACs run counter to AOC's pledges to increase transparency and reduce the influence of dark money in politics. And Hillary Clinton tells a local TV station in New York City that she's not running for president in 2020. You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome back to the show Brooke Goldstein, the founder and leader of the Lawfare Project. One of the ways we oppose evil is by warfare. Well, the Lawfare Project fights evil in the courts. One of the things they do is to fight those who seek to use our courts to take away our rights. So, welcome back to the show, Brooke. Glad to have you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Folks, we're going to be talking primarily about the bias against Jews in our nation and in the world. This is important because anytime people are judged by their race or lineage and not by their character, we start losing our freedom. This is bigotry at its worst. I don't think I got to explain that to Americans. Brooke, the primary purpose of the Lawfare Project, as I understand it, is to protect civil and human rights of people, especially the Jewish people around the world. So I'd like you to start by telling us how and why you started the Lawfare Project and how you do your job protecting. But before we get there, help us understand the increasingly negative attitudes and actions directed at Jews in our nation and around the world. I'm just back from Europe, and it's really bad over there. What's going on?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we are now witnessing a rise in levels of anti-Semitism, which are, as you said, extraordinarily alarming. And, you know, it just goes to show we've been living in an anomaly. If you look at history for the past 2,000 years, there's always a point at which this sick, terrible disease of the human mind comes up and wreaks havoc and creates terrible, terrible injustice and then culminates in, obviously, genocidal intent and action. So we all have to be monitoring very closely when anti-Semitism is rising, because that has implications not obviously for the Jewish community, but for the whole world. I mean, there's always a rise in anti-Semitism that precedes some sort of other terrible happening. So whether it's, you know, the rise of a Nazi regime, or whether it's even what happened in Russia during the communist revolutions, it always starts with the targeting of Jews. And we're seeing this in Europe, and now we're seeing here in the United States, very top-down, strategic plan orchestrated by groups like American Muslims for Palestine or BNC or Students for Justice in Palestine that are training our millennial youth to engage in often illegal discriminatory actions against the Jewish community. And the reason why I founded the Lawfare Project, and we've been described, we operate akin to a public interest law firm in the sense that, you know, we've been described as the pro-Israel ACLU. We finance and participate in impact litigation, groundbreaking civil rights litigation on behalf of Jewish communities worldwide. Wherever someone is targeted because of their race, ethnicity, their national origin, whether they're Israeli or because they're Jewish, we would come to their defense and work with them to make sure that their rights are protected and that they can avail themselves of courts of law to protect and enforce their basic civil rights. And the discrimination is so widespread and happens in such different forms. And we're talking about everything from First Amendment and Title VI civil rights violations against Jewish students on American college campuses, to physical violence. I had a client of the Lawfare Project, Daniel Vassell, was punched in the face at Temple University by an associate of Students for Justice in Palestine. We're seeing widespread commercial discrimination, which some have called the BDS movement, the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions movement, which is just a movement that is trying to advocate businesses engaged in illegal discriminatory practices against Jews and Israelis. I mean, can you imagine if there was a restaurant and the owner of a restaurant had a problem, let's say, with the China's former one-child policy, so he decided to exclude all Chinese people from his restaurant? You can't do that. So using the excuse that, well, we have a problem with Israel's politics or we have a problem with Zionism, and then turning around and targeting Jewish American students or Jewish Israeli businesses just because of their religion and ethnicity, that you're, you know, superimposing your political grievances against Israel on these individuals because of their race, ethnicity, or national origin, that's classic bigotry. That's classic anti-Semitism. And that's what we're seeing right now.
It would be bad enough if you were describing what was going on in Europe, but you're talking about what's going on in the United States today.
Yeah, we have several cases, two very significant cases against two different schools here in the United States. Together with the law firm Winston & Strawn, the Lawfare Project has brought two lawsuits, one in federal and one in state court, against San Francisco State University, or SFSU, for violating the First Amendment rights of Jewish students, violating the civil rights of Jewish students, and they are literally the administration at SFSU supported excluding Jewish students from school events. And it's classic black and white. We're targeting Jews on our campus and then using something like, well, we're anti-Zionist, or we have a problem with Israeli foreign policy, therefore we're excused to target Jews on campus. That's basically SFSU's defense. And in CUNY, in New York, the City University of New York, our client is Professor Jeffrey Lex, and another client is Professor Michael Goldstein, both of whom have been targeted because they identify as conservative Jews. One administrator at CUNY was actually caught on audio tape saying there's, quote, too many Jews on campus. So it's quite rampant, and it's really frustrating because, you know, as a civil rights activist, as someone who's living in America right now, we have a rise of a progressive space, a liberal space, and very strong, active voices calling for equality for all minorities. The Jews are the world's oldest minority. We have been subject to horrors and persecution for way too long. And so when Jews as minorities in this country or abroad are targeted in the most vicious ways, we're not hearing the same type of outcry from, you know, the mainstream media and general society. And it's really unfortunate because if you turn a blind eye to the targeting of one minority, you're green lighting these processes. And again, it starts with the Jews. It never stops with the Jews. So if certain parties are allowed to tolerate and foster hostile environments in government-funded schools and spaces against Jews, believe me that that practice will then spread to other minorities. So it's particularly disheartening to see that the so-called progressive community has not even adopted the cause of anti-Semitism, but in some instances, such as Linda Sarsour and Tamika Mallory, who've hijacked the progressive narrative, have actually used it as a tool to continue to further victimize the Jewish community. And that's, you know, what Linda Sarsour and Tamika Mallory have been trying to do, and which is why there's been such public outcry against them and exposure against them for fomenting anti-Semitism and trying to mainstream it in the women's rights movement.
Well, could you imagine what the media would be doing if this was against blacks or Hispanics? They'd be absolutely
right.
Bananas. It'd be on every news, every show, every day, every person being interviewed.
As it should be. If an African-American student was punched in the face and called you dirty N-word,
yes,
it would be top billing, and it should be. That's a disgusting,
yes,
hate crime.
Yes, it should be.
My client, Daniel Vassell, was punched in the face and called a dirty Zionist baby killer. All right, and there was no mainstream public outcry. And I think that's very dangerous because, you know, obviously they're the bad actors that engage in these types of behaviors. But when society at large decides to turn a blind eye, there's something wrong.
That's exactly the point. Something is seriously wrong. And as you pointed out, it isn't going to stop here. It's going to start here, but it's not stop here. There's a lot more to discuss, and Brooke is going to stay with us. Troops, this is Colonel Danny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. It's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do every day. Then take a break, but stay in the area. Brooke and I will be right back.
Now is the time, and wherever you are is the place. The Citadel makes it easier to earn your degree by offering master's degrees, graduate certificates, and undergraduate degree completion programs that are entirely online. These programs are convenient for working professionals and those serving in the U.S. military, continuing the Citadel's legacy of academic excellence. Classes are held to the same high standards that consistently name the Citadel the number one master's-granting public college in the South. The Citadel, online, on your time. Visit citadel.edu/online.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
100 Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Brooke Goldstein from the Lawfare Project about the anti-Semitism that is prevalent in our nation and also in the world. Brooke, the Lawfare Project recently applauded the appointment of Ilan Carr as the U.S. anti-Semitism envoy. Is this a new position? What does that person do?
So this is a really good question. I think it's not a new position. They've had special envoys for anti-Semitism before in prior administrations. But I think we have an opportunity right now, and I think Ilan Carr is a perfect person for this position and has a wonderful opportunity right now to work with the Trump administration and coordinate the U.S. government's response to the rise in anti-Semitism abroad. And what's so unique about this office is that the mission is really to be a liaison between the U.S. government and foreign governments and be an aid and provide your services and assist those foreign governments in stemming the tide of anti-Semitism and properly enforcing their anti-discrimination laws to ensure that their Jewish communities are not being marginalized. And we have a situation where Belgium has banned ritual slaughter of animals. They've banned kosher meat and obviously halal meat as well. So there's a civil rights issue there, a human rights issue. There are discriminatory labeling laws being applied by the European Trade Commission, by governments like France. Ireland is voting on a really horrific bill that is meant to encourage commercial discrimination against Israeli Jews. So there's an environment that I think Ilan Carr has a lot of work to do, and I'm 100% confident that he'll be able to rise to the task and achieve something because there are allies. We do have a lot of allies in Europe. And I think that those voices are being drowned out by very radical, loud, aggressive movement. And also, you know, it's important to note with the digital age, a lot of this is done through bots. I just read an article that described how when the singer Lorde planned to play in Israel, her Twitter accounts were just bombarded with negative tweets and messages and giving the impression that there was this huge public outcry. And someone did a study on it and found out that it was something like upwards of like 95% of the messages that were sent were done by bots, were automated, were not real people. So I think we have to understand that and take advantage of our real allies and work diplomatically with foreign governments and with the foreign government's own liaisons on anti-Semitism and anti-discrimination and forge those bonds and likewise very loudly and proudly advertise the fact that the two governments are working together and really empower the office of the special envoy so that he can do his job.
Well, that makes a great deal of sense. It's crazy. Well, bias is crazy, but the classic example, and as I mentioned, I'm just back from Germany. The classic example of bias is Nazi Germany. They started with the Jews, but they sure didn't stop there. And it's really easy to rationalize and say, well, that was there, and we don't have a Hitler, blah, blah. No, bias doesn't work like that. Just look at history. Am I right?
Yeah, and I'll say something about Germany. I mean, we have a case right now that's being appealed where we sued Kuwait Airways on behalf of an Israeli who attempted to book a ticket and was refused by Kuwait Airways. He tried to book from Frankfurt, I think it was, to Bangkok, and it was a indirect route with a stop in between, and he was refused the ticket because Kuwait Airways has a discriminatory policy. They refuse to do business with Israelis, but this is in Germany. So, you know, the basic principle, the basic tenet of law, if you are to have the rule of law, is that if anybody wants to come into your country and do business there, like Kuwait Airways came to Germany, or if, you know, anyone came to the United States to do business here, in order to avail yourself of the privilege of doing business in our jurisdiction, you got to follow our laws. So you can't say, for example, I'm from Saudi Arabia and it is legal to hit your wife there. Therefore, when I live in Germany, I can beat my wife, even if it's a violation of German law. That doesn't make sense. So how can you say, well, we have a policy in Kuwait, and it's a discriminatory policy where we target Jews. So we want to come do business in Germany and have our airline and have our docking in German airports and fly and make money from German passengers, but we're going to discriminate against Jews. And that's exactly what Kuwait Airways did. And the trial court ruled against us and said that actually you can't come and do business in Germany and not abide by German law. And obviously there was public outcry and there was a lot of media attention on it and there were features on our client and there were a lot of very positive statements from German government officials who were very high up, including I think the Minister of Transport came out very publicly against Kuwait Airways because it's very shocking. I mean, for a ruling, especially in light of Nuremberg and when Holocaust survivors are still alive, for a German court to rule that it's okay to discriminate in Germany is quite outrageous. So there was public outcry, and we are looking forward to the appeal of the case, and we're very confident that a German higher court will overturn the decision.
Well,
but I just want to say at the same time, obviously everybody is following, if we're going to dovetail into what else is happening in Germany, the alliance between Germany, or the cooperation, I would say, between Germany and other European governments with Iran in terms of opening up the markets there and circumventing the reapplication of U.S. sanctions and so forth. And there was a story, if I recall correctly, of a plane load of cash being flown or proposed to be flown from Germany to fund Iran to circumvent sanctions. And that obviously is equally as disturbing, if not more disturbing, than the whole Kuwait Airways fiasco.
Well, there is no shortage of bias, and it is evil. You can't say it's okay to be biased against one group of people, but it's not okay to be biased against somebody else. Bias is, and this is pretty much intuitive, I think, evil. So where do we go from here? Brooke, take a minute and make a couple of key points you'd like people to remember, and then explain to our listeners how they can plug into, support, know what's going on with the Lawfare Project.
Okay, so obviously you should please visit our website. It's thelawfareproject.org. Lawfare is spelled L-A-W, F as in Frank, A-R-E, lawfareproject.org. We appreciate all types of support. We are a not-for-profit. Donations to us are tax-deductible. And if you're interested in the subject, do sign up for our mailing list. We do not inundate you, but we only send the most important stuff. Follow us on social media. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook. We also have a new Instagram account. I want to say it's Lawfare Project, but I have to look it up. It is, yes, Lawfare Project on Instagram.
Okay. Brooke, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for what the Lawfare Project is doing in our nation and around the world. Thank you for giving a clarion call to our American citizens of this real bias, and it's evil, and it can't be painted by any other name. It's evil. And if you want to do something about it, the Lawfare Project is the place to go.
Thank you. I also just want to say, because we're on front lines, I want to thank all the veterans, all the listeners, and everyone who has ever served or is currently serving in our military. We owe you our lives, literally, especially as a Jew, a grandchild of Holocaust survivors. I wake up every morning and I thank God that I live in a free America, and this country is so blessed because of our servicemen and women. So thank you all for listening and for support.
Well, thank you for that, Brooke. We are prepared to and have conducted warfare to protect these rights, and you're conducting lawfare to protect these rights. We're fighting the same battle. Thank you for joining us today. God bless you.
Thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Here's our Stand Tall Troop report. This is when we find an outstanding performance of duty and we get to honor this fine troop. Well, last week, on 25 February, Albert Barney Hansen, a World War II vet, celebrated his 93rd birthday. Barney left high school to join the U.S. Navy, but because he was only 17 at the time, he needed to get, and got, his mother's signature to enlist. He served as an MM3, third-class machinist mate, on the battleship USS Mississippi, BB-41. He took part in nearly every battle in the Pacific Theater, including the Battle of Linnigan Gulf, where the ship took a near-fatal blow from a kamikaze attack, as well as during the amphibious assault of Okinawa that destroyed the Shuri Castle. He also witnessed the Japanese surrender in Tokyo Bay on September 2, 1945. Barney married and raised five children. He lost his wife after 62 years of marriage. His younger brother was killed in action during the Korean War. He is loved and respected by his family. So stand tall, Albert, Barney, Hanson. Frontlines of Freedom and all of our nation's patriots salute you and wish you a happy, if belated, birthday. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Steve Wilson about the great things that HelpVet.net does for vets. Then Karen Cataline will contrast socialism with free will. And Autumn Harpence will discuss vet sports. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America Report. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time to run. We're in a couple of miles of wind sprints, outside or on a machine, if you live in the snow like I do. Then grab some protein and rehydrate with water. Finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.
I got to Bethesda within 48 hours of being hit. I just remember telling them to hurry.
Having family at my bedside was the biggest benefit in my healing process.
If it wasn't for Hero Miles or the Fisher House, I don't know how I would have been able to be there for Anson without struggling.
Fisher House stepped up big time to make it to where I could see my family, they could see me. It was the whole reason I made it.
To learn more about donating Hero Miles, go to fisherhouse.org.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense.
Winston Churchill's immortal words stirred an entire country in the face of certain defeat. Today, these words give each of us the courage to reach for our own victories.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never.
Commitment. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Cleanup crews in Alabama continue to search for survivors of the deadly tornado that ripped through Alabama Sunday. So far, 23 people have died, and Lee County Sheriff Jay Jones says they're continuing to search for missing people.
We're concentrating on specific pockets. The search is not as in a broad spectrum.
And Alabama Governor Kay Ivey says,
we are a tight-knit community of people, and today each of us mourns the loss of life of our fellow Alabamians.
Scotland Yard authorities say three explosive devices have been found in London, two near airports and one near a major train station. The packages were found at Waterloo Station and near buildings near Heathrow and London City Airport. One of the bombs did go off near Heathrow Airport, causing a small fire which led to an evacuation. No flights have been canceled, no reports of any injuries, and we'll continue to follow this story. This is USA Radio News.
Let's think about customization presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Liberty Mutual customizes your auto insurance so you only pay for what you need. So why can't more things in life be customizable? Why can't I buy Neapolitan ice cream without strawberry? Can't I just have the chocolate and vanilla flavors I'm comfortable with? Do people even want a fruity ice cream flavor sandwiched right between the classics?
Go to LibertyMutual.com for a customized quote and you could save.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer.
Let's have a chat about your debit card. The card you use for the things you buy every day. What if you could get cash back every time you bought those things? Well, now you can. Introducing Discover Cashback Debit. Just open a Discover bank account and start earning 1% cash back on up to $3,000 in debit card purchases every month, automatically. Plus, there are no monthly fees or minimum balances. Now you can get cash back on the way you like to pay. Open a Discover Bank account and get the debit card with cash back. Go to discoverbank.com/debit. Limitations apply. Excludes money market accounts. Discover Bank member FDIC.
A London patient might be the second to be cured of HIV. With more on the story, here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
An HIV-positive man's becoming the second known person to be cleared of the AIDS virus. Doctors say the man from London has been virus-free for 3 years after receiving a bone marrow transplant from an HIV-resistant donor and 18 months after coming off antiretroviral drugs. Doctors say highly sensitive tests have revealed there's no measurable trace of the virus in the man's body, though doctors caution the patient is functionally cured and in remission, but they say it's still too early to confirm that he's cured for good.
Today is Mardi Gras, also known as Fat Tuesday. Now, Mardi Gras marks the end of the celebratory season and the events that lead up to Ash Wednesday, which starts tomorrow. Over 70 different parades are taking place in New Orleans, and food, tradition, costumes, all a part of the festivities on Fat Tuesday. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
A growing number of counties in at least four states are declaring themselves Second Amendment sanctuaries, refusing to enforce gun control laws that they consider to be infringements on the U.S. constitutional right to keep and bear arms. One of those sheriffs is Cibola County, New Mexico Sheriff Tony Mace. He joins Fox News and explains his position.
Well, you know, we swore an oath to defend and support the Constitution and protect our citizens. And, you know, we want to protect their Second Amendment rights. We want to preserve those rights within our respective communities across the state. And with some of these pieces of legislation, we've not just in violation of the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, and the Fifth Amendment. And we figured, you know, these sanctuary status or preservation status will help us protect our constituents' individual rights within our communities.
Mace next explains why he's not a fan of universal background checks.
So that particular piece of legislation, the universal background check, will impact our shooting sports, our youth shooting sports. It'll impact the concealed carry classes that instructors teach across the state, because a transfer is a transfer. And in New Mexico, we don't have the mechanism in place to be able to follow those background checks, even if they're purchased from a federal firearms licensed dealer under the 1984 Firearms Protection Act. That paperwork's destroyed after 30 days. So as a state law enforcement, we don't have any way to track those transfers.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com. The studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum.